Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Welcome back, and if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, you can feel your IQ going up by the minute, can't you? I can tell. Well, you will really believe that when you'll really start to feel that as we get to our next guest, Bill Duckenberg, who's here to help us start our ninth year on the radio. Bill's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is chief economist with the National Federation of Independent Business and professor of economics at Temple University, formerly the chair of the entire business school. And he's, more importantly, though, he's our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. And you got some good news for us this month, don't you?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I mean, you know, after August and September, which was our pre and post hurricane surveys, they came out really well. So we were really happy with those. Little did we know October was going to deliver a surge in owner optimism and some really good numbers.
Yeah, well, you know, the I'm a little bit surprised, frankly. Because you know, if you watch the news, you'd think, you know, the sky was falling in September, and yet we came in with the last number I saw was 3.8 growth in the third quarter, and you're telling us that fourth quarter is tracking to be even better. Is that right?
Even better. That's right. Now, you know, well, part of the problem, of course, in counting production in the third quarter is that the last month is always a guess anyway. You know, two-thirds of the quarter, the first 2 months, census gets down reasonably well. And the third quarter, they kind of make up with imputations and things like that. So that's why we have a lot of revisions. But still, it's going to be close to 3.8. And I mean, that's way above trend. So that was a real surprise, you know, given that the hurricane did its bad things in September, you know, and so it was a surprise. And of course, going beyond that, once we're through that, then you've got nothing but extra GDP being generated, because now we're hiring people to clean up and hiring people to build, mm-hmm. hiring that we wouldn't have done had we not had the storms.
But Bill, when that happens, you know, I know that you and the other economists always say that when a disaster like that happens, it actually spurs the economic growth in that area.
Right.
But it also causes raw materials and materials to go up across the marketplace. A hurricane in New Orleans, all that does for the people in Seattle is raise the price of sheetrock.
Well, that's true. There are people in Florida.
And that's not good for Seattle.
Get their roof fixed, you know, from the last hurricane, not to mention.
Right.
So there'll be a shortage of building materials, lumber, sheetrock, steel, all those kinds of things, you know, from the need for construction, and that will certainly keep those prices very solid or raise them a little bit. There's a shortage of workers to get the jobs done, which is really important. So there's a shortage of skilled hands to get this done, and so it'll take time. It won't, you know, won't be done overnight.
You know, Bill, I was listening to the Democrats running through one of the Democrat voices running through a laundry list of reasons why George Bush isn't doing a good job, and I'm only bringing this up for one part of what they said. You know, they said he wasn't prepared for Katrina, the Iraq War, he's not doing that well, and they named off two or three other things, and they said something like, and look at the economy, or you know, the economy's foundering, it's bad. And I thought, of all those things, you know, that maybe you could argue one way or the other,
right.
I said, wait a minute, what's wrong with the economy?
Right, don't they read?
I mean, I'm thinking, what ball game are they watching? And but my what's sad to me, Bill, and I'm not taking sides here. But what's sad to me is that we've got politicians that are willing, and I'm saying maybe they do it on both sides. We've got politicians who are willing to put that kind of soundbite disinformation out, hoping just hoping that it'll land somewhere, when it's just absolutely wrong, and it's to me it's disrespectful to the small business owners out there and the American workers who are really doing a good job.
You can remember there's another Bush who had a problem with let me quote, "It's the economy, stupid."
Yeah.
A good politician succeeded in selling enough voters on the fact that the economy was not doing well to get himself elected to office.
Yeah. Stand by, Bill. We got to take a quick break, and we got to sell some things because our economy is pretty good around here. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Bill Dunkelberg. He's Chief Economist with the National Federation of Independent Business.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're celebrating 8 years on the air this week. Over 2,000 live broadcasts every Monday through Friday, including all the holidays. This next week, we're going to do our 9th live show on Thanksgiving Day, and over 8,000 live interviews. And Bill Dunkelberg must have done half of those with me over the last 5.5 years. Bill is Chief Economist with the National Federation of Independent Business, Dr. William Dunkelberg. Bill, you've been with me now for 5.5 years, and for all those times, every month that you've joined us now in the last 5.5 years to give us this outstanding report on what small business owners are saying about the economy, for all of that and for all that you do for small business, we thank you.
Well, thank you, and that would be 5/8 of your 8 years, I guess. This is your anniversary, right?
That's right.
Well, congratulations to you.
Well, I appreciate it very much.
Doing yeoman's work out there.
Well, thank you. But none of this happens without our Brain Trust members, of which you are we're very proud to have you as a member. Let's get back into this report. By the way, folks, this is the Small Business Economic Trends report that Bill compiles every month. Bill, tell us a little bit about it. You haven't done this in a while. Tell us how this report comes about.
Sure. Well, NFIB has about 600,000 members, which is a lot of owners out there. That's about, if there are 6 million employers, obviously we have like about 1 in 10 of those is a member of NFIB. And every month we take a random sample of the file, too expensive to talk to all of them, so we take a scientific sample of that file, and we mail them a questionnaire on the first of the month, and then we collect a lot of very interesting data about their hiring and changes in prices and capital spending and their outlook for the economy and so on. And then we compile that, and we've done that for a little over 30 years. And it turns out that these are great indicators of what's going to happen in the economy, and that's basically what we're up to.
Well, and folks, if you've been tracking the information that Bill gives us and then following up with what some of the government's reports come out as later many times, Bill, I don't know how many times what you got from your respondents was very, very prescient and very accurate to
very
what
good.
Actually
yeah.
wind up happening. You've seen that many times. I know you've been doing this now for 3 decades, and we've only been doing it for a little more than half of one and with you, but it's excellent information, folks, and information that I hope you're using to your advantage, because it'll help you with your planning. It'll help you deal with your customers, deal with your suppliers, make budgeting decisions. And by the way, there are at least three places that I know of that this report can be found. One of them is on my website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Right there on the homepage, you can find two surveys, including one of them is this one from Bill. And the other two places is at nfib.com, and you've got another website too, don't you, Bill?
Right, smallbiz, smallbus.org. You can get the reports and the charts, 30-year chart.
All that stuff is right there, folks, so check it out when you get a chance. Okay, Bill, what's another indicator that you saw that stands out from your respondents this month?
Well, I think the most important one for me was really the fact that the net percent of owners who are going to increase employment didn't change in August, September, and October. It stayed at a net 17%. When I say net, I mean we subtract the percent who say I'm going to add more workers. We subtract from that the percent who say they're going to reduce their workforce. And so that's a net 17. The only time we had higher numbers was in the crazy kind of dot-com years, 99 and 2000. So
right.
This is like a 30-year high for a normal period. So this is a very, very good sign that we're going to continue to generate jobs.
Excuse me for a second. Kiplinger reported last month that we were going to create 2 million jobs this year and 1.8 million next year. That's almost 4 million jobs in 2 years.
That'd be a nice number.
And that's something. Now, is this the economy that's not doing so well?
Right. Don't want to admit that it's doing well.
Let me throw something out at you. Now, don't forget where you were, because I want you to come back back to that. But remember when you and I were concerned and trying to explain 2-3 years ago when we had so much unemployment, we had a lot of things against us. We'd been attacked, we'd had a recession, we had the corporate malfeasance, et cetera, and then we also had all these jobs that were being redirected because a lot of these jobs were being redirected overseas, and so the jobs in the United States, the employees, the workers had to find new places to work and learn new skills. Don't you feel like we're beyond the tipping point, and now with these 4 million new jobs this year and next year, don't you feel like that our economy is poised to really take off with all of our workers directed in 21st century ways?
Well, I think we always find good places for our people to work. We have a great educational system that has a lot of problems, but relative to our competitors, it's still pretty good. So we managed to find places for them to work. And right now, again, except for the crazy dot-com period, 2000, we employ the highest percentage of the population age 16 and over in our history. So everybody's working, and the unemployment rate's very low, 5.0%. And, you know, this economy, that's the nice thing about a free market economy, where people can go find jobs that pay them the most. They're free to move.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as we know, lots of people are moving to the Gulf now to work down there because there's a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, some people might say, well, 5%, I thought 4% was the good number. Well, in the 21st century, 5% is the number. And you have to compare this against other industrialized nations, don't you, to really to appreciate it?
Yep.
Because
we have half their unemployment problem.
Of Europe, exactly.
Right.
Stand by, Tintail. We're going to come back with more good information from our good friend, Dr. William Duckerberg. He's with the NFIB, chief economist over there, and a professor at Temple University. Tintail, stay with us.
To my love, took it down. Climbed a mountain and I turned around.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Bill Duckerberg. Bill is chief economist with the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. And I'll remind you that you can get this report on my website at the homepage. There are surveys, the economic surveys there on the homepage, as well as smallbiz.org. Is that right?
Right. Small B-U-S, not
dot,
B-I-C.
Dot O-R-G.
That's dot O-R-G.
And also at NFIB.com. Bill, perennially, for the last 30-plus years, the classic boogeyman for many of us has been inflation, and that's if I'm not mistaken, that's been the traditional thing that used to wake small business up in the middle of the night the most. Not so much in recent years. How about now?
Yeah, today it doesn't seem to be so much of a problem. If you go back to one of the questions we ask in the surveys is, what's the most important problem facing your business today? And then we give a list of 10 things you can vote for. You can fill in the blank. So energy comes and goes, for example, in the fill-in-the-blank part. And the all-time vote winner is inflation. Now, if that's the number one business problem that small business owners face, somebody is really screwing up in Washington, which they were in the 1970s.
Right.
You know, we had some bad mistakes happening there.
Right, like price controls.
Yeah, but now, you know, that number runs around 2 or 3%, you know, kind of steadily, which means that the Volcker-Greenspan, soon-to-be Bernanke world, It's certainly a much better world for small business owners to operate in.
But isn't inflation creeping up to around 4?
Well, it is. The headline number, which is has got the energy prices in it, has been creeping up. But remember, last month we had the largest decline in gas prices in history in a one-month period.
It was
like almost 50 cents. You know, and for energy, what goes up usually comes down because supply always responds to these higher prices. You know, if we need more homes and the prices are going up, then, you know, builders come in and build more homes until the prices come back down, which they're doing now.
That's the
way the market works.
Are your folks worried about the heating oil situation and the natural gas situation for the winter?
Well, I think it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a surprise for consumers, and it's going to be particularly difficult for lower-income consumers who spend like 10% of their budget, their after-tax dollars, on energy, gasoline, and heating. The gas prices, as you know, kind of crept up on us. We kind of got used to it. If we have a hard winter, the natural gas prices are double where they were last year, and utilities aren't allowed to engage in cost smoothing, so they're buying in the spot market. And that's going to cause heating prices to go up, and that could be a surprise for a lot of consumers. Obviously, not in the South, but in the North, could be an extra $100 a month. And for, you know, if you're not well off, that's a difficult pill to swallow.
Right. So, what do you see going into the holidays? How do you see holiday spending based on what you're telling me?
The fundamentals are good. I think the income is still growing. Nominal income is growing pretty nicely. Employment's at a record high percentage of the population, except for that little dot-com squirt that we had.
Mm-hmm.
We got lots of shoppers with pay. Consumers are not overburdened with debt. They have a lot of debt, but they're handling it well, so they'll be using that. And things are getting better, so they're going to be a little more optimistic. I think it'll be a nice holiday. It'll be another record as usual.
Can you tell if your respondents are optimistic about 2006?
Well, one of the questions we ask is, you know, what do you think the economy will be like? Will it be better or worse 6 months from now than it is today? And we had a surge of 11 points to a really very nice number in that indicator in October. So that says, you know, they're looking out to next April, May, June, and they're seeing the economy being better than it is today, not just the same, which would be just fine. Thank you very much.
Right.
They see it improving even. And, of course, if they think it's going to improve and therefore they hire and they do the capital spending, it will improve. So,
you know,
I think they're right. They just aren't wrong.
Look at, yeah, exactly. No, over and over again, they've proven to be pretty darn good indicators, have pretty good pulse perspective on the pulse of the economy. But when you look out there, look at what's happened to us in the last 4 or 5 years, Bill, and for the economy with oil prices the way they are, the hurricanes that we've had recently, many people seem to be upset about Iraq, et cetera, et cetera. This economy is amazingly resilient, isn't it?
Well, you know, we're a very wealthy country, so we can worry about all those things, and we can afford to help other people out, and we can afford to rebuild deal with our own problems. So, you know, yeah, those are all big, those are all large events in a way, and yet, you know, they're not large enough to really dent the economy.
Yeah.
Look, for example, the fact that we lost hundreds of thousands of jobs in those states, and yet job growth is still positive. You know, the
right.
48 generate enough jobs to offset that and add new jobs. Pretty
right.
good.
Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too in the next hour, right after the news. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll see you in a minute.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.